From Raleigh, North Carolina, it's The Leftovers with Jay and Jeff, a podcast dedicated to HBO's The Leftovers. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to The Leftovers with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And I'm congratulations.
And welcome to the show. Come on, there's so many better things than just congratulations.
I thought that was a great line. I also had written down, I don't have my swimsuit with me either. Because, you know, when Virgil tells her, did you bring your swimsuit? There was a lot of great, but you didn't like the congratulations line?
It was all right. There's so much good stuff here.
You're just negative. Negative Nancy.
I've been trying to just be honest about it.
I'm going to start calling you Patty.
Old Debbie Downer Patty.
Debbie Downer. Wah, wah. It's okay. It happens.
She had this episode, I think, was not only to make you lose sense of what is real and what isn't real, but also to say, you know, yeah, that Patty, I feel sorry for her, kind of.
It was a goodbye to Patty episode.
Yeah. Goodbye, Patty. Sure is nice. But wow, just there's something that when Lost went off the air, there's just this void that hadn't been filled by, but just the outlandishness and just how it could go shoot for the stars and just really make it go, what the F?
It's a shame we don't make this an explicit podcast because Leftovers is very explicit.
Leftovers is, I think, arguably, you could argue that's a great show, but I don't think you can argue that the best F-bombs dropped on TV.
Maybe of all time.
Really good F-bombs.
Maybe of all time.
But we digress, as usual. But,
and people were wondering if the opening scene, if I was used as a stunt double, and I'm going to tell you right now, no, I don't have a tattoo on my back. So that's because I had a lot of people saying, you know, Jack, that looked like you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm saying, no. I have two chins. So no.
In your head.
Hey. That's just a married man reference. So,
okay.
Just did a married man show, and Jay was very brutal and unkind. I mean, it's bad enough I got Dale calling me a boiled egg, but, you know,
well, again, getting back to the leftovers here.
I did say you were heavy too, so I guess I'm not innocent.
That void that Lost left, and I think a lot of us tuned into the Leftovers last season to maybe get some of that feeling back, right? But it was based off the book, and it kind of was very dark. Had some really great episodes in it, but overall, there's a lot of it just felt like just
you never
so sad.
Close your eyes
anymore when you kiss. Your lips. But this season has been amazing, and it comes to this episode that just brings me right back to some of the best times in Lost. I was like, what the heck is going on? And just an amazing otherworldly episode. Like, it was fantastic.
And I just want to say, people who complain about Damon Lindelof not giving answers to a TV show, I just want to say, without spoiling anyone, it gave it answer the next episode, where we had to wait four episodes for another major show out there. And at that point, everybody knew what the answer was going to be in that episode. So get off Damon's back.
I mean, it was great. And also, I love that kind of watching it, I was like, Damon Lindelof and Nick Cuse. Is that related? Carlton Cuse? Like, a Cuse is a unique name.
It's his son.
It is his son. I did like, though, that I like Scott Eric's theory on our Facebook group a fake name.
He had me believing it.
It was a good theory.
I had heard earlier that his son, for some reason, I had heard that his son was working on The Leftovers. And then when Scott brought up the theory, I went, oh, maybe I heard wrong. You know, I didn't really think too much of it. And I went, well, maybe, you know what? I bet you he made that whole thing up. And then when we found out it wasn't true, I went, oh, but that was a good theory. You know? As someone who's come up with some fantastic theories, most have come in true, but, you know, the ones that, you know, are so close, but you go, it's still good. I want to believe it.
Yeah.
I still want to believe that theory. So hats off to Scott. I thought that was a great theory.
But still, it's good to know that the Cuse Lindelof team can be passed down to generations.
And I did reach out to Nick on Twitter and said, hey, come join us on our podcast.
But just a fantastic episode.
I thought it was amazing, and it just I'm not just saying this, and people keep saying, "Oh, you're just saying it." I think people keep saying each week, "Wow, wow, wow," and we didn't say that a lot last season.
No,
it wasn't bad. It wasn't terrible. There were some amazing episodes.
It was good, not great. This has been great.
This has been one right after the other, after another, after another, after another, and this one last night was like, and just had your brain thinking, what was that? What were they doing here? I can't say enough good things about this season.
Agreed.
It's like next season. I don't know if is this going to be like Homeland.
Well, see, this I think maybe they did it right. Where the first was, you know, maybe not, you know, blown it out of the water kind of stuff. It's a reference to Battleship. Just listen to the Merry Man. We'll talk about it later today. But it was just, it wasn't like, oh my, True Detective, right? True Detective first season, amazing.
Amazing.
Right? One of the best seasons of TV ever. So it could never live up to those expectations. This one, the first season was like, it was all right. I'll watch it again. We liked podcasting about it. We'll keep podcasting about it. But it's just been fantastic. And I think Damon Lindelof had the mythology, like the background to the story, and he could just kind of let loose, because there's no book that he had to follow.
Well,
he has a
fantastic imagination, and that's what I think people love so much about Lost, because it not only did you think, but it was like, oh my gosh, this is just amazing! All these different things going on, and he does a great job of character development, and Kevin. I mean, I was at one point almost in tears, like going, oh my God, you could feel his pain. And it's great. It's great. It's great television.
We're so thankful to podcast about it, and we're able to podcast because of patrons and you, the listeners, that make it possible over at patreon.com/JayandJack. If you'd like to become a patron today and contribute to what it takes to make this podcast, you can do so over at patreon.com/JayandJack. We currently have 105 patrons at $729.50 a month. Thank you to all of our patrons. And if you would like to become one today, you can do so, again, at patreon.com/JayandJack. Without further ado, let's...
Wait. Is this almost like Lost to You leftovers?
What do you mean?
Where you want to talk about it right after the episode?
What do you mean?
Well, remember Lost, we talked about it about an hour after the episode.
We were recording.
This one is like, I got to wait. It's like, oh, I got to wait.
This whole season's been tough. But, you know, honestly, it's been nice that I can kind of take a day, take it all in, think about it.
That's true. You've gotten older. And so you get older, your brain doesn't work as well. And, you haven't kept your brain in shape. Whereas I'm like a 20-year-old.
Ah, gotcha.
I'm like, bring it on. I can podcast. Bring it on. Bring it on, Rhonda.
Let's bring it on now with the Leftovers recap. Here we go. Right, it's Leftovers recap time, and we had a fantastic episode to watch this past Sunday, International Assassins, the 8th episode.
And that was a clue, wasn't it, that they gave us on Twitter? Was it International Traveler? I think it was International Traveler. Something like that. And I go, what the heck is that? It's almost like please stop sending me the clues, because it's just confusing me.
Most of the episodes start out with some type of cold open, and then they go into the title sequence. This one, I just had the kind of previously on and went straight into title sequence. And then out of it, we have a dripping faucet, and then Kevin wakes up from being submerged in the tub, somewhat shamefully naked for him, and maybe the ladies at home and Jennifer Aniston.
Do you think when you first saw this, oh, Michael put him in the bathtub?
Part of me, yes.
But shortly after that, I go, because when he gets out of the bathtub, he's laying there. He gets up. He has the towel covering himself. He's looking, and he's like shocked at what he sees.
Yeah.
Like he's alive, or he's just stunned about what's going on.
Yeah. No, it's once I saw the TV was kind of flashing on and off.
No, I'm talking about when he first gets out of the bathtub.
No, yeah, I agree. there was like a moment of that where I was totally with you on that, but then I was like, the theories I think were too, and they set it up so well that he would be buried much like the birds. So I, in my head, it's like, that's what's going to happen. That's what I was thinking in my head. So in a hotel, TV flares on, kind of flashes on and off.
Scares him.
And he goes up to a closet and it says, know first who you are, then adorn yourself accordingly.
Right.
And when he opens it up, there is a couple different options, but they're very, you know, there's like a priest uniform, a cop uniform, and a nice suit.
It's his cop uniform, isn't it?
It's what it looks like, yes. But again, it seems like other people are putting on similar type things, so I don't know if it's an option everybody gets.
I thought it was from his town.
Did you screen grab it so we could verify it?
I did not, because I don't know how to do that.
So
I guess I know how to do it, but I just I didn't do it.
I'm a lazy
podcaster.
But it doesn't matter because he picked I was like, that's a nice like James Bond suit, and I guess that kind of works out.
And I said the same thing, and I was like going, because who would, okay, of the three, not to pick apart the other two, but who doesn't want to be James Bond?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fly look, you know. And again, if you have a body like Justin Theroux, which neither of us have, it, you know, I would.
Speak for yourself. I've done a sit up or two over my life.
So he gets a knock on the door, and there are flowers for Mr. Harvey, not Garvey.
Harvey. So I thought he was looking for a giant rabbit.
So he takes them in, but then he just the old, you know, you got to pay attention to what's coming in behind you. Like, why leave the door open? So the busboy tries to kill him, but the international assassin suit takes him out.
Now, do you think this is, well, I think the whole episode was him fighting to stay alive.
Yeah.
Would you, because remember when before he took the poison, he said, I don't want to die.
Yep.
So I think it's his way of his telling him, you know, and he took the guy out.
Well, then it kind of begs, and we can find this out when Virgil tells him that he's chosen the international assassin. What would have been the challenges he would have faced if he was like the priest? Like, what kind of things would
you'd be in an elevator and crying? Am I right?
I mean, cop, I could kind of see, like, maybe he goes back to, I mean, he has to do like a beat or something like that, and it's whatever. So, but it is interesting. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was fascinating. I think this works better because cop would be protector, priest would be listen to confessions, I guess, and you know, bless people, and
the consoler, yeah,
consoler, and then international assassin, you can do whatever you want.
Well, he has to do battle with his, you know,
he has to do battle and battle with his the inner demons and what's going on.
Yeah, so he patches himself and he goes to the elevator, but it's out. So he takes the stairs. I'm going downstairs.
Well, no, it wasn't out because there was a fire alarm, and he looked at the thing in case of fire. Take the stairs.
Yes, I think by looking in there, like there was no elevator in there too.
I thought the lights just started flashing, and he just went, "Oh!" He looks down at the sign.
So he goes down the stairs, and there's a redheaded girl standing by the pool. Now, Colleen can verify this. Once I saw her, I was like, "Oh, that's Patty!" Like immediately,
I thought it was the girl from the Charlie Brown books. the Charlie Brown had a crush on. Come on, you can't deny
Patty?
That. No,
the girl had a crush on. Okay, I don't know.
Did you not read the Peanut books?
I did, but I don't remember.
Oh my gosh! All right, go on.
But I was like, oh, that's her. That's her spirit, and he's going to have to do battle with her. So we asked the front desk who would have sent him the flowers. She is attracted by a bird in the hotel,
right?
Which again, can we assume that's the dead bird that was possibly buried?
I think it's something else.
Spirit of the bird.
Spirit of the bird, maybe. I think it's more. It had more symbolic, more symbol in what I'm trying to say here. But it's more symbol. I can't say the word right now. I'm trying. It's more of a symbol of something. That's okay. Not what I was going to say, but I'm tired.
Struggling over there.
Struggling over. It's, well, you get older, you struggle.
So she directs him to concierge, where he sees Virgil as the concierge.
Concierge.
Kevin confronts Virgil, but Virgil acts like he doesn't know him, but he writes down to tell him to meet in the parking lot or parking garage in 5 minutes.
Right.
And he says, I hope they don't catch that bird.
Yeah.
So they walk. He walks away, and he sees a girl face down in the pool that was sitting outside it earlier.
Right.
So he jumps in to save her, and I'm like, don't save her. That's Patty. Just let her die.
I said the exact opposite. I was saying, poor little girl, someone get in there and save her.
Because I was like, it's Patty. It's like, if she was going to be an adversarial foe, like, but one way to challenge it? Like, you're not going to kill a little girl.
He had to kill Patty.
That's true. That is true.
He had to, so it wouldn't work.
Good point. Good point.
And we know that Patty's already killed herself once.
Yep. It's very true.
So she's doing it over and over again.
So a crappy dad comes in and takes her away. Or as we,
now, I knew we'd see this. We knew we'd see this guy more because he's in a lot of shows.
Yes, he is.
And he had a great FU.
Yes, yes, he did. So he goes into the garage. There's two people arguing in Spanish. One is in scrubs. I wonder what that's about. And we go to a white Merc, which is what the Brits call a Mercedes-Benz. And it's also, screen caps prove that it is, or pretty much prove, that's the same car that Evie and her friends left to the orphan's well.
Oh, you're talking about, I was thinking of Lost, sorry.
No, the white, sorry,
I was thinking Evangeline Lilly.
John's first. Daughter, Evie. But it's the same car.
Same car.
Mm-hmm, same license plate as well. Hmm. But gives the old flashing light signal. So, I mean, if anybody needs to know, if you're in the car and things are about to go down, you flash the lights just to verify.
Well, to be fair, he's an international spy. That should be common knowledge.
It's common knowledge to me. I know the rules.
I mean, when I saw the flashing lights, if I'm not an international spy, I'd run the other way.
But I love it's the best joke about it, though, is in the first Hangover movie, which is like, flash your lights, let him know it's on. but he meets...
With your satchel.
Yeah. He meets in the car with Virgil. And says the guy tried to kill him because he chose the outfit of an international assassin. His mission, if he should choose to accept it.
Well, didn't he ask why you're all wet?
Yeah. Is to kill Patty because she is running for president. He is to get the gun out Godfather style.
Right.
And do not hesitate and shoot her.
Well, didn't he say why are you? Didn't Kevin ask him why you're here? And he said for redemption.
Yes, so Kevin does ask how Virgil is here, or how Virgil is here because he has to die, or you would have to die to be here, and he says he's there to atone.
Right.
So, he took more of a one-way ticket than the poison route. I don't think Virgil's coming back.
No, I don't.
What happens later. He also says that you don't drink any water. No matter how thirsty you are, do not drink the water.
Give me some water.
So we see a bunch of white SUVs pull up as he's sitting in the car. It's kind of, I was thinking, aren't usually like presidential cars the black SUVs, but these are white SUVs.
Which never makes any sense because like any of your CSI shows or FBI shows, they always have the black car.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to be, incognito. They're not supposed to be, but it's always the black car.
It's a black, Cadillac. SUV. Yeah, Cadillac, yeah. Whatever. And white suited members, Guilty Remnant, gets out. And you kind of see it. Like, oh, it's Gladys. Wasn't confirmed till later, but it was like, it looks just like her. And he said, don't let them see you.
Right. So he kind of hides down. He's like, he looks scared.
Yep. So he gets back to his hotel room. He changes into a new suit, reads the card in the flowers. It was a get well card, but nothing was written in it.
No.
The TV squeals again. Stuff comes through. You hear the feed. And effing fire, and it sounds like his dad. And I was like, is that his dad?
Yeah.
And then the alarm comes on again. He exits and has another run-in with the crappy dad, or so we think.
Who's not worried about burning, so is he already in hell?
Well, it seems like he knows where he is.
Yeah, he knows where he's at, and he goes, who cares? False alarm or something like that, right?
Yes. So while he's outside, he sees balloons. And a card, and he asks if it's for him. He goes up to the person. He says, no, it's for a Mary Jameson.
Is that you?
And he follows the busboy and sees Mary get it outside, kind of from a distance.
Why are we saying busboy? How do you know it's a busboy?
Well, like a...
Delivery guy, whatever. What do you mean, whatever? That's his job.
Well, it was kind of, he had like a busboy attire, it seemed like.
All right, fine.
And then while he's outside and we can maybe get some answers about it, he gets attacked by a GR assassin.
Right.
So he gets...
I think this episode had more action than all the other episodes combined.
Well, I think that's where, Damon and Nick were having fun with it.
Yeah.
Because, if you get to pick an international assassin... you can have more action. It was fun.
Right, because most of the time, you know, it's just a story. But this had some, you know,
well, even that,
cops and robber type stuff.
There's been action in it, but it's more of like a brawling style action. It's a street right, this, brawl. This is like...
I mean, the opening fight scene was amazing.
Yeah, it was fun. It was like a Bond movie. Which I recently saw, the most recent new one.
Oh, did you see it?
Yeah.
Thanks for inviting me.
You would love it.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
It was a great time. You should go. So he gets taken in and takes a lie detector Windex test.
Oh, my God.
With Gladys asking that. I was like, oh, God, just because that's ammonia. That burns.
It does burn.
Ah.
I said, how do you keep your eyes open after that? It's just, that's cruel.
Yeah. So they find out that he's lying about his name. He is Kevin Garvey. And ask why he smokes. Gets the red light that he lied. So he follows the GR line, which is, you know, I smoke because the end of the world happened. It's to remember.
Right.
So he is all clear to meet future possible president.
There was one great scene, though, where they ask him if he wants something to drink. He says, oh, no, thank you. I'm not thirsty. But the light comes on, and his look at the light was like,
yeah,
are they going to spray me in my eyes again?
It was a great scene.
There's nothing said, but his look at the light was like, it was, I thought it was great.
Yep. So Patty tells him Gladys tells him to clean up. And so he does so. And the TV comes on again, and it is his dad.
Right.
He's in Perth, Australia. So he said he was going on Australia. And he took God's tongue. So he is, you know, seeing some ish right now. And he says, you know, he's there. He's talking to him. And he says, you need to take her to the well. Now, this is what I thought when he said that. I was like, oh, he's got to take Mary to the well so she can regain consciousness.
No, I thought it was Patty.
Patty was like the easy one, but I was like, eh, he's going to shoot Patty. He's got to take Mary to the well.
We're not even sure
to bring her
Mary.
Back. We aren't, but we can assume, right? Or no, is it too much to assume?
They didn't show her.
It was the same hair from a distance.
Yeah, a lot of people have the same hair.
I mean, again, you're right. It could just be a red herring.
Okay, everyone's
put it past the Lindelof
everyone there we're assuming has died.
But it's kind of limbo, though. So if she's kind of in this vegetative state, could her consciousness be somewhere else?
Could be.
Right? Because it's kind of the in-between. You're not fully dead. You're kind of in between death.
Right.
It's purgatory, whatever you want it to be. It'd be funny, though, if like the next, like the church next door was where the losties were. Getting back together, like
we've been waiting for you.
It was
Kevin.
All the same universe. You know?
We've been waiting for you.
So it says to take her to the well. So he goes into the senator's room, and he'll have about 5 minutes, and he can't ask about North Korea, gun control, abortions, or Neil. I thought that was a really funny line.
I thought it was great. Yes.
So he goes to the bathroom, but Holy Wayne is on the toilet.
That was just funny.
Yeah, that was good. So when he walks out, Holy Wayne exits, and it's a great interchange between both of them. And Holy Wayne comments that he feels like he met him before, and that he was on the toilet the last time they met, which it was the last time they met, and he calls it deja vu.
I thought it was funny.
It was a nice scene. I thought Holy Wayne was one of the cool characters from last season. So he tries to go to the bathroom again, but Wayne gets called that Patty has arrived. And then it's just a really great scene between the two of them. She talks about assassins and why they want to kill the president and why they do what they do.
It's a shame that these two people have to depart from each other. No pun intended. They are great together.
Yeah.
It's some great television.
He says, he talks about Neil and everybody's just like getting ready to go crazy. And Patty jokes, so I just shoot him in the head right now. And Wayne almost shoots him in the head.
No, I'm just kidding.
It's like, lighten up. It's okay. So he goes, he asks if he can go to the bathroom. He goes to get the bathroom, and it is taped under the, you know, you would think they would search for that. But again, I get it's like, it's not the real world. It's whatever they're trying to work out. So he gets the gun. She tries to get out of it. She says she's not Patty. It's just somebody they made up to look like Patty. Which I was like, she's just...
She was found on Facebook and all that different stuff.
Yeah. But I definitely, I was like, no, it's her. This is what he was talking about. It's going to be this big challenge. He says, not hesitate and shoot her. Shoot her, shoot her, shoot her.
Well, why would you think that, though, when you thought the little girl was Patty?
That was my first thought, that the little girl was Patty. But again, so we didn't see her since then.
So no, we saw her when he walks into the...
But once we saw grown-up Patty, we didn't see little Patty next to her.
You're right. You're correct.
So he shoots her.
Right.
And I was like, okay, now go get Mary, go to the well so you can bring Mary back.
No, I was done with Mary at that point. I said, doesn't matter.
How does it not matter? She's pregnant. I said,
well, they didn't show her. So
but it has to play into something. There's only two episodes left.
Maybe it does, but at this point I'm like going, this tonight doesn't matter. Mary doesn't matter.
But it was a clue. It was telling us something.
It might have been a clue, but it was like it make one of those lost type clues or red herring type thing that we're supposed to be thinking. Like you're thinking. I'm the whole time thinking he still has to take Patty to the well. This is not done yet because then nothing happened. He's looking around like, okay, why am I still here?
That's true.
I thought that before he even went down to Virgil. You can ask me. I was there when I said it.
No, I get it. I get it. But I was just like, maybe he's not going because he also has to take Mary back. That was my justification.
No,
but again, it didn't happen. So
there's no deal in the Mary thing.
I get it.
You're hung up on the Mary thing.
I'm moving on because it didn't work out anyway. So he goes back to Virgil and he doesn't know who he is. And he asks, you know, did you drink any water? And he says, but I was so thirsty. And it kind of emphasizes it when the bird lands and he kills the bird. He says,
right.
Got it.
Got it, everyone. Got the bird.
So Virgil's consciousness either went to the next, wherever he's going next or whatever. But Virgil is no longer Virgil. So he goes to his room, but he is locked out. The key doesn't work.
You know, that happens to me all the time, though.
You have bad luck with that.
I do.
I still remember that Palm Desert occurrence.
We had all those groceries. With babies and young kids.
So the horrible dad is locked out of the room, and he shares some of our Jack Daniels type whiskey or something with Kevin. And I was like, well, that's liquor.
At least he was sharing.
Liquor doesn't count. It's not water. So the guy talks about how he likes to have people take dumps on him. I was like, oh my God, it's Neil.
Right when he said that, I go, it's Neil.
And because, you know, Kevin also talks about how he's an international assassin, but Neil knows that he's dead. He choked on a chicken sandwich or something like that, a chicken. And the little girl is Patty. So my theory was correct.
There you go.
She knows who he is when he opens the door. He kills Neil. Then he goes with the concierge and asks Virgil about a well and says there's an orphan's well in Jardin, Texas. Once he said orphans, I was like, oh, so maybe there is, you know, because that's where cave woman died and orphan.
Cave woman.
It was a cave woman, right? She lived in a cave. She was a woman. She's a cave
that's
woman.
Where cave woman.
We don't have a name for her. But she died and
fine.
The kid became an orphan.
Call her cave woman. I just think it's pretty insensitive.
She lives in a cave and she's a woman. What else do you call her?
Actually, she doesn't live in a cave because the cave caved in and she couldn't get in the cave. So how can you call her cave woman if she can't get in the cave?
So you call her outside woman?
Outside, not in cave woman.
Like the woman formerly known as cave woman?
There you go. That's perfect.
Is that better?
She could be she's a first prince.
So he takes her in that same Mercedes and as she's walking out, she says she's going to be thrown in the well. And in the car, she goes on and on talking.
Well, that's what I like Virgil's line. I hope you brought your bathing suit.
Yeah.
You might get wet. I just thought it was a great... I go, so she doesn't care? She's getting... I go, this is weird.
But again, Patty killed herself in this life, so I don't
I
think,
know. I get that.
Yeah, there wasn't as much of a fight or to win or whatever. I think she was just trying to be as sympathetic as possible so that Kevin would, you know, feel sorry for her or care for her because nobody ever has.
So
in the car, she talks about what the pamphlet says, and it's basically kind of talking about how the native Indians, there was this well, and if you kind of through whatever in it, you let go of whatever was burdening you. But I love how it kind of brought so much significance to that first scene of this season where we're like, what the heck is this about? But right. That there is miracles in Miracle Texas, right? In Jardin, Texas. There's something about this location.
It wasn't, that was the lake over there, right? With this,
yeah,
in the lake.
Same, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Same area.
It's actually right. The spot where the well was is where the girl died.
Now, is that spot, was that where the girl's car was parked? Where the well was at?
No, they were kind of on the other side, on the more dirt
road
side.
That would have been a great theory there somewhere. But
so that location, something about that geographic location is significant. And again, Lindelof is no stranger to that, right? Like, it's a lot of what Lost is about and then why the island was significant. It's just one of those types of places. So it talks about her tendencies of talking too much. And so even as a child, it seems like Patty's been criticized, but I liked it was a nice kind of flip on the car rides with Patty, as you know.
It was, he said, well, he said, no, Kevin's keep ghost. Talking, keep talking.
Yeah. But I love that. I thought it was a nice little twist on that. So he gets to Jardin at the bridge, but there's kind of these bonfire, you know, drums, oil drums,
right?
And somebody breaks the window, takes him out, puts a noose around his neck, and offers him the option to kill himself or go to the well and kill the girl, because you're going to have to live with that for the rest of your life if you do it.
Right.
He chooses to take Patty to the well, and he whispers something to Kevin. And when he goes back to little Patty, she asks him what he's saying. He says, it's none of your business. It's just between me and him. So what do you think was whispered there?
I think he was telling him what... Well, he said that your life will never be the same, right?
Yeah.
If you choose to go forward. Maybe he was telling him what would happen or something. I don't know. I just there was so much going on. You couldn't digest it all.
But
so I
do
honestly
think
don't
that'll
know.
Come back, or is it just kind of like a it's there, something was said.
Something was said. I think it's one of those things, kind of like the canoe thing. We'll never get an answer for it. So just let it go.
But I think the difference here is that he knows where he wants to begin and end somewhere.
Right.
So,
well, obviously he's choosing still to live because he didn't want to hang himself.
Correct. Correct.
This whole episode is about Kevin fighting for life, fighting for himself, fighting to keep him. That's why he took the poison in the first place, to get to save it, because his life was going downward spiral.
Mm-hmm.
With the, you know, seeing Patty all the time, he was going crazy, and he didn't want to live that way. He wanted to help whatever he was doing. He was trying to convince Nora that this was going to make things better. I was going to be normal again. I wasn't going to be my dad. I was going to be normal. I just had to do this thing. So this whole thing with him fighting the guy in the beginning and just everything he was doing was fighting to stay alive.
Yeah.
Because he could have easily chosen, all right, fine, let me jump off the bridge and I don't want to kill this little. It's almost like the scene. It's almost like the argument, you know, if you could go back in time and kill baby Hitler, would you kill baby Hitler? Well, it's easy to say that, but when you have the baby in your hands, could you kill baby Hitler?
Good. That's even, a good call. Yeah.
Even knowing what you know now, could you go back there and go, this guy, really, millions of people are dead, could you kill him? Especially, let's say, not baby Hitler, a child like that just looking with the cute eyes and talking to you. How could you do that?
I think it just depends if the baby was able to still have the little mustache.
If it had the mustache, then I think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah,
because you're thinking, oh, little Hitler, I'm going to kill you. But no, I think that's the whole thing. It's just, you know, like you said, it's easy to, you know, he shot Patty in the head, look like Patty.
Yeah,
it was easy. That's Patty. I'm here to kill Patty.
Mm-hmm.
And Patty wanted to die anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm going to kill Patty. So I just think that, you know, when he chose not to, I go, wow, he's going all in.
Yeah, and it's just it's a good, but I love the call out about that whole, like, well, if you went back and would you kill a baby Hitler? It would be a tough thing, right? Because nobody, I don't think, unless you're like, you know, a psychopath, but
yeah,
generally you wouldn't want to kill a baby.
Yeah, but even if knowing what you know now,
but I think you would almost,
it's
still Hitler.
I'd do it in a second,
you have to
but
do it
would still
yeah.
be, if because most of us aren't killers.
Sure, yeah.
So it'd be hard to go, yeah, we'd say we'd do it, but you look at a baby or you look at a, it's like, how do I kill this? I mean, there's people out there that are, like you said, sick and they just have, you know, no soul. So it's easy for them. But for us, be like,
yeah.
Anyway.
So he takes little Patty to the well. And
I thought this was probably the best scene of the episode, and there was the whole episode had great scenes. I thought this one was the best.
Yeah, because I mean, they get to the well, and there's just this interchange between the two. It's just so like innocent and just so like introspective. It's just a really cool scene, and just it was like so somber. And
she was talking about all the things, you know, I talk too much. I don't do this. I don't do this. I'm fat. I'm this. So it's basically probably what Neil was saying to her whole life, and maybe what she
her parents too. You don't
her parents. It's probably what she's heard her whole life, and it's probably why she just eventually decided, okay, I'm done, and I'm gonna kill myself. She just was probably miserable. We find out later on some stuff, but I was like, and you can see Kevin's face, you know, just he's crying. I mean, the acting was fantastic. So, and even the little girl playing young Patty, I thought they couldn't have done a better choice picking a young actress.
Yeah.
It was fantastic scene, and the setting with it just was amazing.
Yeah, at the well, it was like a beautiful set. It was an amazing scene. It was just kind of like a sit there and just watch and just take it in kind of things. And she's kind of like saying, "Well, it'd be better if you close your eyes, et cetera, et cetera." But he pushes her in.
Well, I thought at the beginning he says, "Do you want to drop me in or do you want to push me in?"
Yeah,
he's looking at her like going, "I don't want to do either."
Yeah,
I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it.
So he kind of sits there, reflecting about what he did, and an older Patty calls out to him.
Right.
So he tries to go in to save her, but he falls in.
And I said, he can't get rid of her.
No.
She's like a boomerang. No matter what he does, Patty comes back.
But again, he can't be as passive about it. And so she tells him this really sad Jeopardy story about how she wanted to win $50,000 on Jeopardy so she could leave Neil.
Right.
And it's just a story about how, you know, she won, she beat the defending champion, and she won the next 3 days, but she lost the fourth day. And after it was all said and done, she had like $68,000, more than enough to leave. And with all of that, she still didn't leave Neil.
She didn't have the strength to leave Neil, and that was her downfall in life.
Or maybe it's just that's a highlight of all the problems she did face in her life.
But even then, she's still saying things that Kevin should go, oh, God, why am I doing this? I feel so bad. And he still wants to live. He still wants to get his life back on track.
But I think what was kind of great about that scene is he embraces her, you know?
Yes, he did.
Like, I think
before he drowned her, he gave her a hug.
But I think just from he couldn't just kill her and walk away, right? No. He almost had to have an understanding of what made Patty Patty.
Which I think that was classic Lost.
Yeah.
Because how many times did we hate a character, and at the end, we loved that character?
Yeah.
That, you know, a Jin or someone, you know, the characters that we thought were rotten, a Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time they died, we're like, later on, it's like, oh my God. So Patty season one, there's nobody that liked Patty season. I don't care who you are. Nobody liked her.
Yeah.
She was abrasive. She was rude. She was irritating. She led these people that were irritating people's lives and just being, but you hear her background story. So it's almost like a, you know, something in life that, you know, someone might be irritating, but there could be a story behind it. And maybe we should be a little more understanding. Maybe that's what they're going for.
I think it's something that Lindelof has always done incredibly well. On one side, it is kind of the battle between the good and the bad, but there's so many shades in between, right? Nobody is completely good, and nobody is completely bad.
There are some people, going back to the whole Hitler thing.
Yes, but I think he always... he explores that theme really well, right? He can introduce like this character that you hate and then show you all the layers of why they are the way they are.
Right.
And then you have sympathy for that. And I think it's something he does incredibly well. And I think, again, this is what I think is maybe why I think this season of Leftovers has kind of been able to highlight what Lindelof does best, is that it doesn't have the high expectations that Lost had. He can kind of do his own thing. And it's just been so tight with the stuff that are his strengths. And what his
character development.
Character development. It's his number one strength.
And I'd also say storytelling.
Oh, yeah, just storytelling in general. And also not being afraid to to be mysterious, not being afraid to put it in a context to where you're not going to have an easy answer.
Right.
There isn't, and life is not easy. There's not easy.
And I think that's why people didn't like the end of Lost, and they didn't. I think some people just want answers for everything. And this, you're not going to get every answer. Like we said, what the guy whispered in his ear. I don't know. We'll probably never know.
Yeah. So he drowns her, and the well starts to cave in.
Did you feel bad for Patty though? Even though she's died 100 times, didn't you feel bad for Patty that she's being? Because well, after maybe, she tells that story, you're like going, God, he still had the guts. He still went through with it.
But she's already dead. She killed herself, right?
I know. I know. But still, he still had to do it.
Yeah. But
he
maybe,
pushed little Patty off into the well. He shot Patty in the head, and now he has to drown her, which is probably
that was a fake Patty. In all fairness, possibly.
Well, okay, but the drowning Patty, he had to. That's something. That's not shooting someone. That's not pushing. You actually physically have to.
Yeah,
do
that's
it.
That's your that's
so that
up
that's
close
the heart,
personal. Yeah.
That's like, you know, I've never killed anyone again, but strangling. So I think it'd be obviously easier to shoot someone from a distance than to actually physically feel the life of them go out.
Oh, I agree. That's
and
very
that's what
personal.
He had
yeah.
to do.
Yeah. But I think for Patty, she was already dead. So if she but her spirit was kind of attached to Kevin.
Right.
And he had to kill himself to kind of bring them both into the spirit world. And I think killing her moves her on to whatever's next. If this is like kind of like an in-between limbo, purgatory, whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
flash sideways, killing her helps her move on to whatever's next. So I think this was also Patty's story arc and her coming to terms with the things that make her or made her miserable or made her what she was today. So not only was it Kevin... resolving it, but it was also he had to help Patty
move on
as well, and it was sure is a little bit more nitty gritty down, you know, dirty.
It's a lot different than waiting in a church for everyone to show up.
A little bit, but again, he picked International Assassin, so I guess that's the path he chose.
Yeah.
So the well caves in, and he climbs out of the ground, and Michael sees him, and he says, "Holy ish."
Yes.
And it closes out the episode. Gosh, just it was great. I loved it.
I thought it was an amazing episode.
And just really, there's 2 episodes left, and there's so much more that's going on. Right? This was just like Kevin's just internal demons, but there's so much more outside of this that we're gonna get
to. And it wasn't a filler episode. It completed the story from the week before, or maybe added to the story. A week before, but it didn't leave us hanging.
No,
it wasn't that, you know, okay, we're gonna wait till next season. And I said last week this would have been a great cliffhanger. Well, I'm glad it wasn't, because this episode was so good. Yeah. I don't know if I had to wait 9 months, would I have cared as much?
Well, that and like this type of episode, in terms of like a story, like it was such a great like conclusion to the Kevin Patty situation. It was great. And you could say, okay, that's a great season. Let's wrap it up. But they have 2 more episodes where they're going to hopefully, you know, tie up some more of the things that have been happening this season.
Right.
The whole thing with John. They have Kevin's handprint, right? That's where we left in the last episode. So we still have the whole Nora thing and Mary with the baby and how does it affect Matt. So and Michael and Jill. So there's a lot of stuff left. Holy Tommy in Liv Tyler's character. Like, there's so much more still to happen. But I think that's a great highlight to why this season has been so fantastic. Because it's so good. Like, so dense. There's a lot of storylines, and it's all interplaying really well.
Yeah, every now and then you get a great TV show, and Leftovers has become... in its second season, a great TV show. Now, how it finishes, how it goes to season 3, season 4, season 5, can it continue that momentum?
Or will it have a season 3, 4, 5? Because is HBO confirmed they're going to go for another season?
I thought I heard there was going to be a season 3.
I don't know. I hope so.
I don't know. Now you got me guessing. I don't know.
I hope there is, because, it's
Or does it wrap up and we just go, wow, that was a great season, and that's
it.
Maybe they don't. Maybe don't go too far. Maybe they don't go. Maybe don't go too far into the well. And, maybe they depart after season 2.
Maybe Maybe.
I can get another pun if you want.
All right. Well, we do have a phone call here. Some other listener feedback. I want to talk to some of the things that we talk about in our Facebook group. So, Jack, what do you say we get into listener feedback?
Let's do it, officer.
All right, here we go.
Listener feedback.
Hey, Jane, Jack. This is Andreas from Washington. Thank you guys for running such an awesome podcast for what really is, I think, the best show on TV right now. I had a question. I think you guys are probably the only Leftovers podcast, or if you're not the only one, you most certainly are probably the most popular Leftovers podcast. Any chance you can get any of the writers or actors on there? I mean, okay, maybe Damon won't come on or Justin Theroux, but maybe you can get the actors who play some of the other major / minor characters. That would be so neat. Kind of like you used to do in the Lost days when you had a couple of the actors come on. I thought that would be awesome. The other thing is, the GR, the Guilty Rhythm, they smoke all the time, which is why I hate them. But, it's the 21st century. Maybe they should vape instead of smoke. At least that way there isn't all the secondhand smoke blowing around them. Anyway, thanks, guys. Bye.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, I'd love to have the actors on. Hey, Justin and I, sometimes we're at the same club working out. Maybe I could go over there and say, hey, you want to spot me? You got to work?
Maybe.
You use the same kind of crunches as I'm doing? So,
just something. Kind of we'd love to. I think we talked to the author, and we have talked to Damon, and we would love to make one of those things work out. And
maybe during
the off season,
I'll try. We'll send out some feelers out there. But we were lucky with Jorge; he called us. So,
it all depends on the situation and. And I know Damon has said he wants to just let the stuff, the show speak for itself. I would love to have him on and talk about it. Cause I think, it's just great talking to him. He's an amazing, awesome dude,
we took contact him before the Leftovers started.
Yeah.
So maybe after a second season, maybe we can contact him again and say, Hey buddy. Hey, I see him at the barbershop sometimes.
Uh huh.
So maybe I could talk to him then and say, "Hey, do you like your hair trimmed all the way back or no?"
In all fairness, Damon has a lot more hair than you do. So
no, I don't think he does.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And he's younger than me too.
He shaves it close, which you should have done years ago.
What are you trying to say?
No, I'm just you held on too long.
What actor would you like to have on from the show?
Really anybody. I think they're all great. I'd love to hear. Either way, it's a great call out, and we aren't the only Leftovers podcast. There's many other fantastic ones out there. We're actually going to do a joint one with some of our fellow Leftovers podcasters in the off season, which should be fun. So, I think we would love to have.
Yeah, if they're out there listening, if they want to say, hey, just give us a call at
385-309-0311. Again, it's 385-309-0311. Now this
and, is... and wait, if you're worried about us giving any information out, we don't give if you're it's like in a vault. We put it in a lockbox, so we don't give your phone number out to anybody else or like that. So if you do contact us, we're pretty good about not giving out any information. So just giving that disclaimer ahead of time. What about the vapor stuff though? Should they vape? Instead of smoke cigarettes?
I think their whole point is to be annoying and have secondhand smoke. So,
but now that we see Patty had some stuff going on.
Just because Patty did doesn't mean anybody else did.
Well, I think everybody had. I think everybody was in pain. Everybody, there's people that even Lori had some. We found out she had some. She felt she had some deep pain, and so I think that there was a lot of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
It affected a lot of people. Yeah. I think Patty's pain was from probably birth, but we all have different.
Well, everybody has pain and stuff they go through, right? The demons right. that they face.
Well, it makes you a better. It can make whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Little longer. Well, after that, I don't think anybody from the show will be calling.
That's kind of fun you can have here. It's good times.
You could join in with us and sing out loud.
So this was just one of those great episodes. A lot of conversations happening on our Facebook group about this episode. And that's really kind of where I thought Scott Eric's theory about it being Carlton Cuse.
I thought that would have been a great theory.
Jack Latfelter says, give Justin the Emmy now.
I said that last week, too.
But CJ Jones replied, and I thought this was kind of funny, he's going to be the new John Hamm when it comes to Emmys.
Then I think I replied.
Did you? There was
a, I said, yes, good looking guys have trouble.
Susan said, I wonder how the episode would have been different if Kevin had chosen different clothes from the closet. I thought he would choose the police uniform at first, but that part of him is in the past, as in last season.
Well, he'd want to save Patty.
Not that I'm complaining. The man can wear a suit. Woo! I was waiting for...
I think most women would be happy him without the suit. But either way, he's one of those guys...
He's a handsome dude.
He's just one of those guys that are blessed, and we all hate him for that. But, you know, he's just... I don't know. I digress.
Well, you can see why he is Mr. Aniston.
Whoa, did you really go there?
What?
Mr. Aniston?
That's what they call him. It's the word on the street.
I don't care what they call him. He has his own last name.
Yes, Mr. Thoreau. He's a fantastic
person.
There you
go. What are you talking about? He's been amazing this season. We were this close to getting on the show, and now he's like going...
You can see why, because Jennifer Aniston's a beautiful woman. You can see why she chose him.
He was picking up the phone. He was calling the number, and then he heard that line. He goes, click. There you go. Way to go, Jay.
He's a beautiful man. That's what I'm saying. That's what you see.
You can't dig yourself out of this hole. There's another pun.
I was waiting for the Bond or Godfather music to start playing.
I thought it would be better if they had the old toilet.
Yes, I agree.
I was in a hotel in Comic-Con that had that toilet.
It was the Grand Horton, right, or something?
Was it the Grand Horton?
Yeah.
Yeah, I walked in, I go, oh, it's the Godfather toilet. It's exactly what I said right away. I'm sure it has another name, but for me, it's the Godfather toilet. It was kind of weird going to the bathroom in there. I'm not going to lie.
Call out that I forgot to say in the recap, Sherry brought up, interesting that the bird started screeching after she was pushed into the well. The same bird from the very first episode.
Like the anti-cave woman.
The anti-cave woman, yes. Is the eagle was screeching. It's the same screeching noise. So that was a great point. I remember seeing it. I didn't write it down, so I apologize.
I wrote it down, but we got moving on something else. I think killing baby Hitler, and it kind of threw us off.
Probably. Susan brought up, and Virgil killed himself so he could go to his purgatory with Kevin and be the concierge. But notice only characters who have died were there. Yes, they were all dead.
So then that goes back to what Mary's doing there.
Yes.
Or she's not there yet, and that's why we won't see her. She's there, but not there yet. She's not dead yet.
I can see. Okay. Fair enough.
I'm glad it wasn't like Beetlejuice, though, where, you know, when they die, that's how they look in the afterlife. Type thing in the waiting room, because I wouldn't want to see Virgil like that.
Jamie says, I think that since Virgil wasn't buried in sacred ground like Kevin and the birds, he lost touch with this side and drank the water, just like Wayne and the others. I think Mary hasn't yet, because technically she's not dead. No need to be buried. I love the scene between not Patty and Kevin when she's talking about assassins only killing their targets because their targets are speaking the thoughts and beliefs assassin is afraid to acknowledge themselves.
You know, the whole drinking the water thing, to interrupt you, isn't that the girls were drinking the water?
Which girls?
The girls that disappeared. So would that the water have something to do with that? Is that why they kept... I don't know.
No.
It just clicked in my head, so move on. I'm sorry.
Now I lost much the thing here. Let's see. Afraid of knowledge themselves. I also think that the location of the well is where the cave woman died. That is correct. Sacrificing herself for the life of her child, which is like the original sacrifice instead of the original sin of Eve in the Garden of Eden. I think that Kevin's most powerful adversary was not Patty, but himself.
Ah, yep.
His father heard and saw people, too, once he stopped fighting it. He was well. Maybe sacrificing Patty, her child form, create an emotional bond with him so that he would be actually became a sacrifice, will allow Kevin to stop fighting and live with a new reality. Or it's going to really mess with him because she was tough, loud, and slightly crude, his voice of reason. And though he thought he hated her, I think at the end he allowed himself to love her, which he's never really done before. He just fakes it, or at the least confuses love with responsibility, or maybe the sacrifice was really Patty's.
So well, he always hated her, too, because she was part of the GRs. Mm-hmm. His wife left him for the GRs.
Yep.
Patty's group gave him nothing but grief because he was the cop and he had to, you know, take care of everybody. That's probably why he didn't choose the cop outfit, mm-hmm. cop uniform. So, yeah, and then he did care about her.
Yeah.
Enough to kill her.
Yeah. Carrie says several scenes from this episode that I just can't get out of my mind. The first is Kevin walking with Patty, holding her hand when leaving the hotel. Then when Kevin carried her to the well because she was tired and she had her head on his shoulder. Finally, when Kevin hugged her in the well before drowning her, all were emotional and beautifully shot. I agreed.
It was amazing.
And Ronitz agrees with you. Best line of the episode, maybe the whole season. Congratulations.
It was funny because it goes, oh, congratulations.
I was LMAO.
Of course, now we won't be able to ask him that because, you know, you called him Mr. Aniston.
And had to rewind a few times just for the giggle. But
sure, just for the giggle.
All right. Well, thank you so much, guys, for your feedback. Again, you can always give us a call or send an email to have your thoughts, questions, comments, and or theories on the show. And now it is time for that momentous occasion of every podcast. That's the crackpot theory of the weekend. For an episode like this, I feel like it's ripe for some prime crackpot theories. So,
oh, come on. I was talking to you before this was going to be a tough one. That's not fair. Take that back. Come on. Boo. You're the new Patty. You're the new Patty, man.
So without further ado, let me get the drum set ready. All right.
Okay, so we got this whole this episode. I've watched it twice. And it, like I said, it has so much going on. There was so much, but it was hard for a crackpot theory type because I don't know what's going to happen next week. So anyway, I'm going to try and explain my theory on what was going on with different stuff in the episode, different questions that we didn't really get answers for.
Okay.
Obviously, Kevin wanted to live. I've said that many times in the podcast. I think everyone agrees with me on that one. Would you agree?
Agree.
He had a chance to hang himself. He had a chance to go a different direction. He had a chance to stay in that. Wherever that was forever. If he's the cop, he probably stays there forever because he never kills Patty, right? If he chooses to be the priest, he just cries in an elevator the whole time. He never leaves. He never leaves where I think my theory is that everybody there, a lot of them killed themselves. Some of them killed themselves, we know. A lot of them were there and they're content on being there. They no longer wanted to live. Their life wasn't worth living anymore. I mean, you had Virgil killed himself. He was there. Patty killed herself. She was there. Other people there, they were just, you know, it's like when the smoke alarms, the fire alarms going off, Neil said, I don't care. He's
but he
happy.
He didn't kill himself. He choked on a sandwich.
I know. I'm just saying.
He mama cast it.
I get that. What I'm saying is he didn't, living wasn't important to him. Mm-hmm. I think people there were just content on being there.
Yeah.
So, but the bird, I think, was flying around because the bird wanted out. Remember, the birds were alive and put in a box.
Mm-hmm.
They were trapped in a box for 3 days. One bird lived, the rest died. The bird was trying to get out. The bird was trying to find a way to get out and live.
For the ones that died, it was just like Virgil back there just kept hitting him with books.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it could have been. It's just they just died. Mm-hmm. They gave up their will. That bird, it was the bird that was it was hurt in the beginning, right? She tells the story how the bird was hurt and how it wasn't
barely alive.
Barely alive. But that bird fought to live. Mm-hmm. So that bird lived. The other birds, after 3 days, gave up. That's why they died. They just gave up.
Yeah.
And I think that's everyone there that had died had just given up. The reason we didn't see Mary's face is she hasn't reached that point where she's given up. She's in between.
Yeah.
She's going back and forth. If she gives up, we would have seen her face. We didn't see her face, so we hear the name, but she hasn't given up yet. Maybe because she has a child inside of her. I don't know. But
well, the balloons were congratulating her for the baby.
I get that, but we haven't seen the reason we didn't see her is she hasn't given up living, because the whole thing was either you're there, you're happy, or you're fighting for life. You're fighting to save your life. And that's what I believe is happening. That's why we didn't see Mary's face, is because she's still fighting to live. And that's my crackpot theory, and I'm sticking to it. And I still felt bad for the bird because the bird wanted to live, and Virgil snuffed it out.
Poor bird.
Because that's what the bird was, and I think that's why the alarms kept going off, because it was showing to every that people don't want to be around people that want to live. They want people. We all are creatures. We want people to be like us, right?
Generally, yeah.
Generally, so why do we want this bird flying around wanting to live? We want the bird to die. They did everything they could to get Kevin just to give in. Sprayed Windex in his face. Everything they put him through. It tested him to killing baby Patty. Was probably the biggest test in the world. He pushed her off, and she still didn't die. He still had to go down there and do it with his own hands and finish her off. Maybe that's what the guy was telling her. I don't know.
Yeah.
He could have taken the easy way out 100 times. He didn't do it. So he wanted to live, and I think the bird wanted to live, and I think Mary, the reason we didn't see her, is she's still fighting to live.
Well, there you go.
So there. That's my crackpot theory, and I'm sticking to it.
All right. Very good. All right, guys. Well, that is it for this week's The Leftovers. Only 2 episodes left of this fantastic season. If you'd like to give us a call for any of those, again, we usually record Monday night, so if you get the call in before that Monday night, probably be on the show. So you can give us a call at 385-309-0311.
Calling time.
That's 385-309-0311. Calling time with your questions, comments, and or theories. Also, you can send an email to lostpodcast@gmail.com. Once again, it's lostpodcast at gmail.com.
I'm sorry.
Over there.
Someone sent me a text and I was reading it. Sorry.
Wow, Dale Jr. Also, you can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/JandJackGroup. And also, big thanks to all of the patrons that make this show possible over at patreon.com/JandJack. Become a patron today at patreon.com/JandJack. Any contribution is very much thanked. And we always send a special thanks to those people that contribute a significant amount. That's Tack from Tokyo and Eckhart Richter. Thank you very much. And thank you to all 105 of our patrons. All of you are listed on our page at janejack.com. We can also click a link there to become a patron today. So thank you to all of those amazing people.
And don't forget, every Tuesday is until he agrees is Bug Jimmy Kimmel Tuesday. I could call him Jimmy Aniston. I think that would work better. You think that would be more inviting for him to come on the
show?
Jimmy Aniston, you want to come on the show? No, but if we can get Jimmy Kimmel on the show, I'm going to tweet something on the Jay and Jack Twitter account reminding you guys. And then the next tweet, if you could retweet it, and we're gaining each week. So if we can get Jimmy Kimmel on the podcast, my life will be complete. I can go live with those people and be content and just say, you know, hey, Virgil, what's up?
Well, I think honestly, it's been now the we need to get some actors or producers or writers from the show on the show.
I did send out a note to the fake Nick Cuse, but Cuse. I don't know. Cuse, I'm sorry, Cuse. But it turns out it is the real one. But I thought at the time it was the fake one. I thought it was him. But, you know, because I did like the theory. I thought it was a great theory.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And this week on Black Friday, the showdown of the century, Jack will defend his 47-year title as unbeaten battleship champion.
Can anyone say that? Can anyone say they've gone 47 years without losing anything?
I'm sure there's somebody else out there.
No, I think it's a record.
But still, it will be put to the challenge. Does Jack have the eye of the tiger? We will find out.
I've kind of lost it. I've kind of lost the eye of the tiger. I need to go to a smelly gym. And I got to find an old battleship.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to play battleship on a battleship to really train.
Right.
But for people that contribute $15 or more on our Patreon page, you will be getting an invite to that. It'll be 8 o'clock on
Black
Friday.
Hold on a second. Don't flood the site trying to get on to see that.
But in here, it should be a lot of fun. All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
We will also talk about anything else you want to talk about. Absolutely. It's open to anybody. Anybody, you know, well, anybody
well,
on
anyways,
the team.
Yes, that's...
Yeah, anyone in the group can come in and talk to us about anything.
Yep. It's a, it's
maybe
like a
Jay
live
can
party.
Explain why he thinks it's okay that Hall & Oates are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but not Journey.
Because Journey's just not good enough, man.
Oh, man. Okay, this I wanna throw this out there. We're gonna bring back the Ramblecast soon, right?
Yep, it's like our off-season right. show. Yeah,
this is what I think the first verses should be, and you need to take the one that I tell you to take.
That's not how the verses works.
It's you back it up. You're sitting there going do, 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 back it up. I think it should be better group, Hall & Oates, which you should have to take, and I'll take Journey. In fact, I won't even offer a reason why Journey is better.
You can leave it out there.
You can make the case. You can go on for three podcasts.
And I agree that I think Journey's better than Hall & Oates. I'm just giving you crap because you love Journey so much.
I'm just saying, you said, but that should be the first verses. If you're man enough to accept the challenge, it's like Orca. Are you man enough to accept my challenge?
Accept a loss? Sure.
Why do you think it'd be a loss? You said this is a Hall of Fame group. Journey's been snubbed for 14 straight years.
You want to know why? Because Neil Sean is a jerk.
Whoa! I was getting him on the podcast. Why don't you just call him Neil Aniston?
All right, guys. We'll see you next time. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.